ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम टू अवर भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन सीरीज। टुडे वी आर बिगिनिंग द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। हैविंग कंप्लीटेड अवर डिस्कशंस ऑन द फर्स्ट 9 कैंटो सिस्टमैटिकली इन द लास्ट 43 एपिसोड्स, टुडे वी आर मेकिंग अवर ऑस्पिशियस एंट्री इनटू द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। टुवर्ड्स द एंड ऑफ द 9th कैंटो ऑफ भागवतम, सुखदेव गोस्वामी डिस्क्राइब्ड कृष्णस पास टाइम्स इन जस्ट 2 श्लोकास, एंड बिफोर summarizing all the activities of Krishna in 2 shlokas, Sukadeva Goswami has increased the appetite of Parikshit Maharaj to hear Krishna's pastimes by describing the importance of hearing Krishna's pastimes, by describing the glory of Krishna's activities and leelas and appearance. So thus Parikshit Maharaj became extremely eager and enthusiastic and inquisitive to know Krishna's pastimes elaborately. In fact, Sukadeva Goswami was also very eager to describe Krishna's pastimes. That's why he summarized the activities of so many kings and other devotees in the Sun dynasty and Moon dynasty in very short manner. So, Sukadeva Goswami is eager to describe Krishna Leela in the 10th canto, but he wanted to test how eager is Parikshit Maharaj to hear. So, he just summarized Krishna's pastimes in short in just 2 shlokas, and Parikshit Maharaj in the beginning of the 10th canto, he expressed a lot of eagerness. Oh, my dear Sukadeva Goswami, I want to know Krishna's pastimes elaborately, not just a summary, the way you have done in other episodes in the 9th canto. So, the prominent theme or the subject matter of 10th canto is Ashraya. There are 10 topics in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 12 cantos in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, of all the 12 cantos, 10th canto is considered the supreme and the topmost. And of all the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, the topic that is discussed in the 10th canto, which is Ashraya, is the supreme. Ashraya means shelter. So, the topic of Ashraya is the shelter of the remaining 9 topics. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manvantara ishanukatha nirodho muktir ashrayah. So, of all these 10 topics, we discussed what are these 10 topics in our previous episodes quite a few times. So, Ashraya means supreme shelter, that is Supreme Lord Krishna, and that Ashraya is the shelter for remaining 9 topics also. And who is that Ashraya? The Supreme Lord Krishna. So, just as Krishna is the shelter of all the incarnations, all the devotees, he is the supreme source of everything in the entire cosmic manifestation. He is the fountainhead of all the avatars. Similarly, the 10th canto is considered the cream, and the Ashraya Tattva is considered the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Ashraya Tattva is discussed in other cantos also, but the Ashraya Tattva is more vividly elaborated in the 10th canto through the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So, the prominent subject matter of the entire Bhagavatam is actually Krishna. Out of the 335 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, the biggest canto is 10th canto and it has 90 chapters, and the 11th canto has 31 chapters. So total 90 plus 31, 121 chapters are dealing only about Krishna's pastimes. And in the remaining cantos also, Krishna's discussion comes here and there multiple times. Thus, Krishna is described elaborately throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, because he is the supreme hero, he is the supreme fountainhead of all incarnations. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the Lord who is endowed with all 6 opulences. He is the origin or the source of all other Vishnu Tattva forms. And we are very fortunate to make our entry into this beautiful canto, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sukadeva Goswami describes them in great detail, especially the pastimes of Vrindavan. So, as we discussed, Parikshit Maharaj, in the beginning of the first chapter of 10th canto, he says, "My dear Sukadeva Goswami, you have described the Sun dynasty and the Moon dynasty and all the kings in those dynasties in great detail. But I want to know about Krishna and Balaram elaborately. So Sun dynasty is described in the first 13 chapters of 9th canto, and Moon dynasty is described in the later half, 14th chapter to 24th chapter, but Moon dynasty is not complete because Krishna is the foremost personality in the Yadu dynasty or Moon dynasty. So the discussion is still continuing. The Chandravamsa discussion is still continuing. So he wanted to know the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram very elaborately, and to express his appetite and enthusiasm, he speaks a beautiful shloka, the fourth shloka of this chapter. Nivritta tarshair upagiyamanat bhavaushadhat shrotra manobhiramat ka uttama shloka guna anuvadat puman virajyeta vinapa shughnat nivritta tarshair upagiyamanat. Who can enjoy Krishna's pastimes? Who can relish Krishna's pastimes? The people who are relieved of all material desires and material hankerings. Nivritta tarshair. When the heart is filled with so many material desires and hankering for material enjoyment, one cannot actually relish Krishna's pastimes. Nivritta tarshair means those who are devoid of any material hankerings. Upagiya manat bhavaushadhat shrutra manobhiramat. So this Krishna katha acts like bhava aushadha. Aushadha means medicine. Medicine for what? Bhava. Bhava means this material existence. To be in this material world, suffering all kinds of miseries and difficulties, is to be in a diseased condition. So, to cure the disease of this material world, we have to take the medicine of pastimes of Krishna. Bhavaushadhat. So, Krishna's leelas would act like medicine that can cure our material disease. Now, any patient may not be very eager or excited to take medicine, because oftentimes medicine is very bitter, and it's not a very exciting proposal to take medicines. So, does it mean that Krishna Katha would be very bitter like medicine, or it's not very palatable to take it? No. The next line says, bhavaushadhat, next is shrotra manobhiramat. So this Krishna katha medicine has to be taken through ears. We have to hear Krishna katha. And when we hear Krishna katha, shrotra mano abhiramat, that Krishna katha is very attractive to our ears. Shrotra means ears and mana means heart. So Krishna katha is extremely pleasant, very pleasing to the ears and to the heart also. All the beautiful shlokas of shlokas of Bhagavatam and pastimes described in Bhagavatam, especially in the 10th canto, especially Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, they are very pleasing to the ears with their sound. They are very pleasing to the heart with their meaning. So, shrotra manobhiramat. So, Bhagavatam and Krishna's pastimes not only act like medicine that can cure our disease, they also act like nectar for our ears and for our heart. We will be completely satisfied at heart and at our ears by hearing Krishna katha. So, ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajyeta vina pashughnat. So, if this is the glory of hearing Krishna leelas, who is that person who gives up an opportunity to hear Krishna katha unless he is a butcher, unless he is a killer of animals? Vina pashughnat. People who kill animals and eat their flesh for their own enjoyment of tongue, they cannot actually take interest in spiritual subject matters. They cannot hear Krishna katha. So, vina pashughnat, this shloka very clearly says that people who are addicted to eating the flesh of animals, or pashughnat can also mean killer of one's own soul. Actually, soul cannot be killed, but in one sense, if one is not taking interest in spiritual subject matters, one is not actually acting on the platform of soul, one is just acting on the platform of body. So, in that sense, one could be called pashughnat, or killer of one's own self. So, Sukadev, Parikshit Maharaj said like this. And Parikshit Maharaj further continued, "My dear Sukadev Goswami, I am very eager to hear Krishna Katha. Please elaborately discuss Krishna's Leelas. And that Krishna has helped my grandfathers, the Pandavas, especially Arjuna, to cross over this ocean of warriors in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In Kurukshetra, there are so many great warriors, and the whole Sena, the soldiers, the army is like a big ocean. And Krishna's lotus feet are like boat that enabled Arjuna and other Pandavas to cross over that ocean of Kurukshetra very easily." And not only that, Parikshit Maharaj remembers how Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj when he was attacked by Brahmastra. When Parikshit Maharaj was within the womb of Mother Uttara, his mother, then Ashwatthama released the Brahmastra to kill Parikshit Maharaj. So, Krishna entered within the womb of Uttara and counteracted the heat of Brahmastra with his own energy and protected Parikshit Maharaj. So, Parikshit Maharaj had the darshan of Krishna before even coming out of his mother's womb. Such a glorious devotee Parikshit Maharaj was. And he remembered that, Parikshit Maharaj. So, I want to know about that Krishna who protected me within the womb. So, my dear Sukadeva Goswami, please elaborately describe. And he asks specific questions. He says, how is Balaram the son of Devaki and Rohini both? And also, how was Krishna transferred from Mathura to Vrindavan, to the house of Nanda Maharaj? And what did Krishna do with his relatives? And how much time did he spend? How many years did he live in Vrindavan, in Mathura, and in different other places? How many wives did he marry? How many years did he live in Dwarka? Like that, he asked several questions, specific questions. And he says that, "My dear Sukadeva Goswami, with my knowledge, I asked you few questions, but I may not have asked you many more questions that are related to Krishna. So you speak whatever I have asked from you, and you should also explain to me whatever I have not asked. A sincere disciple who is very eager to learn from his guru would ask from the guru relevant questions, and he would also ask guru to explain those subject matters that are very much beneficial for this disciple. So many times we may not know what we need. Many times we don't understand what is beneficial for us to hear. So our teachers, our gurus know. So we have to request them to enlighten us. Oh, my dear guru, although I may not inquire from you about specific subject matters, still you are magnanimous. You know what is good for me. So you, whatever I need to know, please reveal that to me." So like that, Sukadeva Goswami requested, Parikshit Maharaj requested Sukadeva Goswami. Then Parikshit Maharaj was thinking that maybe Sukadeva Goswami would think that I am hungry and thirsty, because Sukadeva Goswami has taken a vow. Parikshit Maharaj has taken a vow not to eat anything, but just to hear Krishna Katha from Sukadeva Goswami till the time of his death. So he has already heard 9 cantos. Now he is about to hear 10th canto. Then Parikshit Maharaj reassured Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear Sukadeva Goswami, I am not hungry, I am not thirsty." He says, "Naishati dussahakshunmam tyakto damapi badhati pibantam tvanmukham bhoja chutam harikathamrutam." This hunger and thirst are extremely difficult to tolerate for common people. But Parikshit says, "I am not hungry, I am not thirsty." Why? Because I am drinking the nectar of Krishna's pastimes from your lotus mouth. So that is nourishing me. So because Krishna Katha is nourishing me, I don't feel the urge to drink or eat anything. So you please continue. So then Sukadeva Goswami started replying to our Parikshit Maharaj. He says, "My dear Parikshit, I thank you very much. You have great affection for Krishna Katha. You have great eagerness. Actually, this whole Krishna Katha discussions will purify 3 categories of people." He says, "Vasudeva Katha Prashnaha Purusham Strin Punatihi Vaktaram Prutsrakam Shrotrum Statpada Salilam Yatha." Vasudeva Katha Prashnaha. Vasudeva Katha means the narrations about Lord Vasudeva, Prashna means the questions about Vasudeva. Purusham Strin Punatihi. So they purify three categories of people. Trim Punatinihi. Who are they? Vaktaram. The person who speaks Krishna Katha. Pritsrakam. The person who asks questions about Krishna. Shrotram means those who happen to hear this conversation between the hearer and speaker. So, when Krishna discussions about Krishna are going on, they purify the speaker, they purify the enquirer, and they purify the hearer also. Tat pada salilam yatha, an example is given. Just like Ganges that washed the lotus feet of Krishna, purifies all the three worlds. Similarly, the Ganges river of Krishna Katha purifies three categories of people, the enquirer, the hearer, and the speaker, all three. So, having given this little prelude, Sukadeva Goswami begins to narrate Krishna's pastimes. So, he gives the background first. Once upon a time, Mother Earth was overburdened with so many kings who were actually demoniac in nature. They have so many armies. They are tormenting common people. So, Mother Earth is overburdened by all these demoniac kings, materialistic rulers, selfish monarchs. So, Mother Earth could not tolerate that. So, she took the form of a cow and went to Lord Brahma. And Brahma became very concerned about Mother Earth's position. And he took Mother Earth to Lord Vishnu. And all the other demigods also accompanied Brahma and Mother Cow. So, Brahma, the earth goddess, Bhumi Devi, and also all the devatas went on the shore of this milk ocean. And Brahma started offering prayers to the Lord. So, they offered Purusha Sukta prayers. Sahasra Sirsha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Sabhovim Vishvato Vritva Atyatishtad Dashangulam Purusha Evedagam Sarvam Yad Bhutam Yaschabhavyam Utamrita Svashyesha Naha. So, in this way they are reciting this Purusha Sukta prayers. Then Brahma, when he recited these prayers, he received a message from the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So, Vishnu did not directly come in front of Brahma, but Vishnu has just given a message to Brahma through his heart only. So, when Brahma was meditating on Vishnu by offering prayers, a message was revealed to Brahma. Then Brahma announced this message to all the demigods. And the message was, the Supreme Lord is going to descend on this earthly planet as Krishna, in his original form as Krishna. And Baladev also will descend. And all of you demigods must also descend, take birth in different dynasties, Yadu dynasty and Bhoja dynasty, Vrishni dynasty, all of you take birth there. So, once you take birth there, then Krishna also will appear. So, then Krishna will kill all the miscreants and he will establish dharma and he will reduce the burden of earth. So, all the wives of demigods also should come and Baladev is also going to come. So, Vishnu Maya also will appear. So, having announced this message to all the devatas, Brahmaji went back to his abode and devatas became very happy. Then, that's the background. Now, coming to this earthly planet. So, once the son of Surasena, that is Vasudev, married Devaki. So, Devaki's brother was Kamsa. So, Kamsa had a lot of affection for his sister Devaki. So, to show his affection, he started taking Devaki to her husband's house in a chariot and he was personally driving the chariot. And Devaki received a lot of dowry. So, 200 female assistants, 400 elephants, 10,000 horses and 1,800 chariots were sent along with Devaki to her husband's house. And Kamsa was personally driving the chariot of Devaki and Vasudev. Very affectionately he was doing it, although he was demoniac in nature. But suddenly, an Akashavani, a mystic sound from the sky, started speaking to Kamsa. Kamsa, you are a fool. You are driving the chariot of your own sister out of affection. but you don't know that the eighth child of this Devaki would be the cause of your death. Then Kamsa became very insecure. He became very fearful of his death. So he immediately wanted to kill his sister with his sword. He immediately grabbed the hair of his sister Devaki and he took out his sword to kill her. So that is the nature of demoniac people. They are very selfish and materialistic in nature. They are so unpredictable in their activities. At one point, Kamsa, out of deep affection for his sister, he was driving her chariot like a chariot driver. Driving a chariot is a very menial service. But Kamsa was willing to do that for his sister. But as soon as he has heard that his own life is in threat because of Devaki's son, so he immediately wanted to kill Devaki without any mercy. So then when Kamsa was about to kill Devaki, he just grabbed her hair. He wanted to chop off her head. But Devaki's husband, Vasudev, immediately stopped Kamsa. Vasudev started speaking to Kamsa, "My dear Kamsa, it's not appropriate on your part to kill your own sister on her wedding day. She is a woman, innocent woman, and she is your sister, and today is her wedding day also. How can you kill? You are such a great warrior." So Vasudev started glorifying Kamsa. He says, "You are crushed jewel of your dynasty, Bhoja dynasty, and also Devaki is non-different from your daughter. So the elder brother should take care of his sister like a daughter. So you are not supposed to kill her. And what will happen to your reputation if a great warrior like you kills an innocent woman? What will people think about it?" And he also says that it's a very sinful activity to kill a woman. And also you should avoid family fighting. So we both families came together, our family and your family came together on this auspicious occasion of our marriage. But now there could be family fight also if you start killing. Then also Vasudev started giving some logic. He started speaking some philosophy. "Kamsa, why are you afraid of death? You're a warrior. Warriors are not afraid of death. If Devaki's son would not kill you, someone else will kill you. Or naturally also you may die. So death is sure for every person who has taken birth. So one cannot avoid death. So although you are trying to kill Devaki because her son is going to kill you, you will anyways be killed one day or the other." Then he gives examples how the spirit soul transmigrates from one material body to another material body. So the spirit soul is eternal, the material body is temporary. The spirit soul who enters a material body at one point, and that entrance is called birth. So that spirit soul has to leave that material body at another point, that is called death. So just like a person walks, you can see that picture. In the 40th shloka, Vasudev says that just as a person walks, so while walking, he will lift his one foot and then place that foot at one location, and then he will lift another foot and then he places the foot in the next location. So like that, a person walks. Similarly, the soul also goes from one material body to another material body. And he gives another example also. You see an insect or a worm, this worm goes from one leaf to another leaf on a tree. Similarly, the soul goes from one place to another place. And unnecessarily, we should not identify this with this material bodies. So the soul is entrapped in a material body and the soul has to leave that body to go to another body at the time of death. So we should not be bewildered by such a change. And he says that in dreams, we identify ourselves as kings or beggars and then we undergo certain emotions within the dream. But once you get up from the dream, so that beggar body or king body is no longer existing. So whatever happened within the dream is a temporary thing, and it is illusory also. So just as the dream is so temporary and whatever happens in dream is insubstantial compared to our real life, similarly, whatever happens in our real life is also temporary compared to our real position as souls. So the soul is a servant of God. Soul is a child of God. Soul is spiritual in nature. So the activities of the soul on a spiritual plane are permanent, and the soul's being in a temporary material body and all the activities or relationships or possessions, everything connected to that body are so temporary in nature. So he described with so many examples. He gave another example. You see that boat, big ship. So a ship which is just traveling on a ocean may sometimes shake because of wind. Similarly, the soul also, because of the fickle mind that keeps on shaking because of material desires, the soul also has to go from one body to another body. And further, you see moon in the sky, and sometimes you see the reflection of that moon in a water body. And if the water body, the water in a lake is quivering, the moon's reflection also appears quivering. So similarly, although the soul is eternal and is unaffected by material qualities, still, when the soul is entrapped in this material body, the soul seems to suffer material miseries. But actually, there is no suffering for the soul, but the suffering is there when we identify ourselves with the body. If you are seeing the moon in the water, it appears quivering. If you see the moon in the sky, it's not quivering. It's very nice, very beautiful. So similarly, when you see the person as spirit, soul, eternal and spiritual in nature, then there are no difficulties. There is no death. There is no birth. But if you see the person, if one identifies oneself with the material body, then one has to be fearful of death also. So although Vasudev tried to pacify Kamsa with so much of philosophical discussion and argumentation and logic and invoking his emotions and many other things, this Kamsa, who is actually a follower of demoniac culture, he did not give up his determination to kill Devaki. So he did not consider the sin. And Vasudev even said it is very sinful to kill a woman, and you will have to suffer in next life. You want to avoid death in this life, you will anyways die, and you will have to suffer in next life also if you kill her. But still, Kamsa was not listening. And finally, Vasudev thought that somehow or the other I must save Devaki. So he said, "My dear Kamsa, I am promising now that I will give my sons to you. You do whatever you want with them." So you are trying to kill Devaki, but Devaki is not the cause of your death. Devaki's sons will be the cause of your death. That too, Devaki's eighth child. So not only eighth child, every single son that is born to me and Devaki, I will offer that child to you. You do whatever you want with those children, but spare the life of Devaki now. It's not appropriate to kill her at this stage. Then Kamsa trusted the words of Vasudev. Vasudev is such a righteous person, such a truthful person, that even such a materialistic, selfish and demoniac person like Kamsa also kept faith on Vasudev's words. So then after some time, then Kamsa released Devaki and Vasudev. After some time, when the first child was born to Devaki and Vasudev, Vasudev brought that small child in front of Kamsa and said, "My dear Kamsa, I promised that I will give my children to you. So I am giving this child, so this first son, so you do whatever you want." So Kamsa became very impressed with the truthful nature and the honesty of Vasudev. And Kamsa said, "My dear Vasudev, actually that Akashvani told me that the eighth son of Devaki would be the cause of my death. So I have no fear of this first child. Don't worry, take him back. You can raise the child, you can take care of this child." So then Vasudev became very happy that he got his child back. But Vasudev doubted Kamsa, because demoniac people are very unpredictable. So today they may show kindness, but after some time they may again become cruel. So their kindness is temporary, so they can again become cruel. So Vasudev did not trust, but then he just left. So meanwhile, Narada Muni came to meet Kamsa. Narada Muni told Kamsa, "Kamsa, do you know that all the demigods have appeared in the dynasties of Yadu? So now you have spared the life of this first child of Vasudev, thinking that eighth child only will kill you. But any child could be eighth child. So you cannot always trust this Akashvani, and all the demigods have already appeared to kill demoniac people. So actually this, in this context there is an example. So a lotus flower of 8 petals. So now which is the first petal, which is the 8th petal? So you cannot actually understand. So you can count from anywhere. So Kamsa was a bit bewildered by this, but he thought that, okay, any child could be the 8th child, let me just kill. So he went and killed that first child of Devaki. Devaki was crying very piteously, but this Kamsa, who is so cruel in nature, he had absolutely no mercy. So he killed that child, and in this way, and not only killing the child, he imprisoned Devaki and Vasudev, and he killed 6 children of Devaki continuously. Continuously he killed 6 sons of Devaki. And such greedy kings like Kamsa, they can kill even their fathers and sisters and nephews or whoever. And Kamsa occupied the throne of Mathura, and he even imprisoned his father Ugrasen also. Then that completes the first chapter. Now we will enter the second chapter. So with the help of so many demons, Kamsa persecuted the Yadus, and some Yadus started running away. They fled from Mathura, and some people still stayed back with Kamsa, trying to serve him under his control. And after 6 sons of Devaki were killed by Kamsa, Anantadev, means Baladev or Sankarsana, entered the womb of mother Devaki, because he has to prepare the bed. The 8th child would be Krishna. So before Krishna enters, Balaram, who is Anantasesha, also has to prepare for the bed of Krishna within the womb of mother Devaki. So Lord Sankarsana entered. Lord Balaramji entered. Balaram, Sankarsana, Ananta, they are all the same names of the same Lord, who is Krishna's brother. So he entered first. And later, when Balaramji entered the womb of mother Devaki, then the Supreme Lord told Yogamaya, my dear Yogamaya, Balaramji entered Devaki's womb, but you should transfer Balaram from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb, because Rohini is the eternal mother of Balaram. So you transfer Balaram to Rohini's womb, then I will enter mother Devaki's womb, and you should go and enter the womb of Yashoda Mata. So then you will be my sister, and you will also be worshipped with so many beautiful names. So then Yogamaya executed this order. Then Krishna entered the womb of mother Devaki, and she was shining with great effulgence. When Krishna entered the womb of Devaki, Devaki was shining so nicely. Although Devaki was inside the prison cell of Kamsa, entire prison cell was like resplendent with the effulgence coming from the body of Devaki, because of Krishna's presence within her. So in this context, Sukadeva Goswami speaks a beautiful shloka. Sa Devaki sarva jagan nivasa nivasa bhuta nitaram nareje bhojendra gehe agni sikhe varuddha saraswati gnana khale yathasati. Sa Devaki sarva jagan nivasa. So the Supreme Lord Krishna is the abode, is the shelter of all universes. Sarva jagan nivasa. So he is the abode of all universes. All universes are there within him, but he entered within Devaki. So Devaki, mother Devaki, became the shelter of that Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the shelter of all universes. Sa Devaki sarva jagan nivasa nivasa bhuta nitaram nareje. When Krishna entered the womb of mother Devaki, then Bhojendra Gehe. So Bhoja is the Bhoja dynasty. Bhojendra means the king of Bhojas, that is Kamsa. Bhojendra Gehe means within the house or within the prison cell of Kamsa, Devaki was shining with spiritual effulgence. And she was like knowledge covered, or she is like fire covered by ashes, because her shine did not come out of Kamsa's prison cell. It is confined within the cell only, within the house of Kamsa only. So that is the effect of Krishna's entrance in mother Devaki's womb. She was appearing very effulgent. And Kamsa noticed the effulgence of his sister Devaki. He was surprised, and a thought came in his mind. Maybe I should kill her now only. Because Krishna, the Supreme Lord, must have entered her womb. That's why she is manifesting such great effulgence. So, shall I kill her? The thought came, but suddenly comes a thought that she's my sister, she's a woman, and she's pregnant also. How can I kill her? So, some good intelligence appeared within Kamsa, and he chose not to kill Devaki. Okay, I will not kill her now. I will become infamous for killing a pregnant sister. So I am not supposed to do it. So he just restrained himself and he waited till the birth of the child. He wanted to wait till the birth of the child. So earlier, when Kamsa was trying to kill Devaki, Vasudeva intervened and protected Devaki. Now nobody intervened. So Kamsa himself thought, so I will not kill Devaki. So that somehow that good intelligence manifested within the mind of this demoniac person. So then when Devaki was shining with spiritual effulgence, all the devatas manifested in the house of Kamsa and they started offering prayers to Krishna, who was within the womb of Mother Devaki. They offered several prayers. We will discuss few of them now. So the demigods were glorifying Krishna within the womb of Mother Devaki. First prayer they said, Satyavratam Satyaparam Trisatyam Satyasya Yonim Nihitam Cha Satye Satyasya Satyam Vrata Satyanetram Satyatmakam Tvam Sharanam Prapannah. Satyavratam, O Lord, you have taken vow of truthfulness. Satyaparam, you are the Paramasatyam, you are the supreme absolute truth. Trisatyam, you remain as the supreme absolute truth in all the three phases of time. So, past, present and future are creation, maintenance and destruction. Before the creation, the Lord existed. During the maintenance, the Lord exists as the supreme truth. And after destruction also, the Lord continues to exist. So, creation, this universe came into existence at one point. But before creation of this universe also, the Lord existed. So, the Lord exists in all three phases of time. In all three phases of this creation. And Satyasya Yonim, he is the Yoni, he is the source of all the relative truths. So when the universe manifests, so many other truths also will manifest, and the Lord is the source of all of them. In this way, they glorified the Supreme Lord Krishna as the personification of truth, and finally they said, Sharanam Prapannaha, Satyatmakam Tvam Sharanam Prapannaha. You are Satyatmakam, you are the personification of truth, you are the origin and the source of all truths, and we have taken your shelter, my dear Lord. In the next prayer, 30th sloka, they say, Tvayyambu jaksha khila sattva dhamni samadhina veshita cheta saike tvatpada potena mahatkritena kurvanti govatsa padam bhavabdhim. This is a beautiful sloka where the demigods are glorifying Krishna as the person who can help us cross over this material world and material difficulties. Tvayyambu jaksha khila sattva dhamni. O Lord, you are sattva dhamni. You are the abode of all goodness. You have pure goodness that is uncontaminated by passion or ignorance. Tvayyambu jaksha, you have lotus eyes. Akhila sattva dhamni samadhina aveshita chetasaike. Means one can perceive the Supreme Lord as personification of goodness in when one is absorbed in trance or samadhi, full remembrance of the Lord, full bhakti on the Lord. And they describe the power of taking Krishna's shelter, the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Tvat pada potena mahat kritena. Pada means the lotus feet of the Lord would act like a boat. And this material world is like an ocean of difficulties. So, if you take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, those lotus feet will act like boat that can help us cross over this material ocean. Now, this boat not only takes us from this shore of the ocean to that shore of the ocean, this boat is very mystic boat, very special boat, that can reduce the size of the ocean also. Kurvanti govatsa padam bhavabdhim. Bhava abdhi, this material world which is full of miseries is like an ocean. But that ocean can become as big as a calf's hoof print. గోవత్సా, గో ఇస్ కౌ, వత్సా ఇస్ ఎ కాఫ్, ద కౌస్ చైల్డ్. గోవత్స పదం మీన్స్ ద హుఫ్ ప్రింట్ ఆఫ్ ఎ కాఫ్. హౌ మచ్ వాటర్ ఇట్ కెన్ అకామిడేట్. సో ద మెటీరియల్ ఓషన్ విల్ బికమ్ లైక్ దట్ ఇఫ్ యూ టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణస్ లోటస్ ఫీట్. సో దట్ ఈస్ ద స్పెషాలిటీ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణస్ లోటస్ ఫీట్. దెన్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ శ్లోక దిస్ ఏ 31st శ్లోక. స్వయం సముత్తీర్య సుదుస్తరం ద్యుమన్ భవార్ణవం భీమ మదభ్ర సౌహృదాః భవత్పదాంబోరుహనావమత్రతే నిధాయ యాతాః సదనుగ్రహో భవాన్. ఇన్ ది శ్లోక ద డెమిగాడ్ సే దట్ ఓ లార్డ్, యు హ్యావ్ సచ్ వండర్ఫుల్ ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ ప్యూర్ డివోటీస్, దే విల్ బికమ్ ది ఆచార్యస్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ది కామన్ పీపుల్, దే బికమ్ గురుస్. సో వాట్ డు దే డూ? దే ఫాలో ద ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ ఆర్ భక్తి యోగ అండ్ లవింగ్లీ సర్వ్ యూ ఇన్ వేరియస్ వేస్ అండ్ దే విల్ లీవ్ ద మెథడ్ ఆఫ్ రెండరింగ్ సర్వీస్ టు యూ ఫర్ కామన్ పీపుల్ టు ఫాలో అండ్ బై యువర్ ఓన్ మెర్సీ యూ అప్రూవ్ దేర్ మెథడ్. సో వాట్ ఎవర్ ఆచార్యస్ రికమెండ్ ఫర్ అస్ టు ఫాలో, ఇఫ్ యూ ఫాలో దట్ ప్రాసెస్ కృష్ణ, బికాస్ హీ హాస్ అప్రూవ్డ్ దట్ ప్రాసెస్, బట్ జస్ట్ బై ఫాలోయింగ్ దట్ ప్రాసెస్ వీ విల్ ఆల్సో గో బ్యాక్ టు కృష్ణ. సో టు రీచ్ కృష్ణ వీ హ్యావ్ టు ఫాలో ద ఫుట్ స్టెప్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆచార్యస్, వీ హ్యావ్ టు ఫాలో ద ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆచార్యస్, దెన్ వీ కెన్ ఈజీలీ రీచ్ కృష్ణ. దట్స్ వాట్ ది శ్లోక సేస్. ద నెక్స్ట్ శ్లోక, ఏన్యేరవిందాక్ష విముక్త మానినః త్వయ్యస్త భావాత్ అవిశుద్ధ బుద్ధయః ఆరుహ్య కృచ్ఛ్రేణ పరం పదం తతః పతంత్యధో నాదృత యుష్మదంఘ్రయః. సో దిస్ ఇస్ అబౌట్ ద జ్ఞానీస్. ఓ అరవిందాక్ష, ఓ లోటస్ ఐడ్ కృష్ణ, విముక్త మానినః, దేర్ ఆర్ సమ్ జ్ఞానీస్ ఆర్ ఇంపర్సనలిస్టిక్ పీపుల్ who are attached to only your effulgence and not to your personality, they consider themselves liberated, although they are not liberated. The actual liberation is to be reinstated in our original position in serving Krishna and in loving Krishna. Liberation is not just merging into the effulgence of the Lord. That is also called liberation. But the real liberated state is to be in a position where we are rendering service to the Lord. So not to be an inactive state. So some impersonalistic people think that they are liberated, but actually they are not. Only by bhakti yoga we can really get liberated. The shloka has multiple insights and we will go to the last shloka. Srinvan grinan samsmarayam chintayan namani rupani cha mangalani te క్రియాషు యస్త్వచ్చరణారవిందయోర్ ఆవిష్టచేతాన భవాయ కల్పతే. ఇన్ ది శ్లోక దే గ్లోరిఫై ద ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి యోగ. శృణ్వన్ మీన్స్ హీరింగ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ. గృణన్ సంస్మరయంశ్చ చింతయన్. సంస్మరణ మీన్స్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు రిమెంబర్ కృష్ణ. చింతయన్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు కాంటెంప్లేట్ ఆన్ కృష్ణ అండ్ మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ కృష్ణ. దెన్ ఆన్ హోమ్? ఆన్ కృష్ణ. And what attributes of Krishna? Namani, the holy names of Krishna. Rupani, the beautiful forms of Krishna. Mangalani cha, they are very auspicious. If we hear about and if we meditate upon the names and forms of Krishna, which are very auspicious, then, and also Kriyashu yastvat charanaravindayor, if we also render so many activities in serving the lotus feet of Krishna, then న భవాయ కల్పతి ఆవిష్టచేత, వెన్ అవర్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇస్ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ లైక్ దిస్, న భవాయ కల్పతి, దెన్ వీ విల్ నాట్ బి ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ రెల్మ్. వీ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ టు బి ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్. వీ కెన్ గో బ్యాక్ టు కృష్ణ బై హీరింగ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ, బై చాంటింగ్ హిస్ హోలీ నేమ్స్ అండ్ బై మెడిటేటింగ్ ఆన్ హిమ్ అండ్ బై రిమెంబరింగ్ హిమ్. సో ఇన్ దిస్ వే ద డెమిగాడ్స్ ఆఫర్ సెవెరల్ ప్రేయర్స్ విత్ డివోషన్ విత్ రివరెన్స్ టు కృష్ణ హూ వాస్ విత్ ఇన్ ద వూమ్ ఆఫ్ మదర్ దేవకి. So that completes the second chapter. Now we will enter the third chapter of 10th canto. Third chapter describes the birth of Krishna. So now the time, the auspicious time for Krishna's appearance has come and Krishna is about to appear. Then entire universe is surcharged with mode of goodness and peace and beauty. And at the time of Krishna's birth, the Rohini constellation appeared and the sun and moon are very peaceful. Although Krishna appeared in monsoon in the middle of the night, it was and that too on Ashtami day, But it was like a full moon day, because when the moon is shining with great effulgence even on an Ashtami day, on Ashtami day you see only half moon. But the moon became very happy even on Ashtami day, because the real moon of the moon dynasty, that is Krishna Chandra, has appeared. So Krishna is the real moon. So Krishna is Purna Chandra. He is always like full moon only. At least the moon that you see in the sky, that has phases, waxing and waning. So moon appears full only on Purnami day. But Krishna is always glowing like a full moon. And the trees and plants became very happy, and the river started flowing with clear water. Cuckoos and bees started chirping and making such sweet sounds, and a pure aromatic breeze started blowing everywhere, and all the yajnic fires, the sacrifices were being conducted. So in such an auspicious ambience, the entire earthly planet was welcoming Krishna on her surface. So Krishna appeared. And all the demigods in the heavenly planets, they started celebrating Krishna's appearance. The Lord appeared like a full moon in the night from Devaki. And first Krishna appeared in four-handed form. And later he transformed into a small child after Devaki and Vasudeva requested him. So first the Lord appeared in a four-handed form. We discussed in the 8th canto Bhagavatam also. First, Vamanadev did not appear as a dwarf Brahmana. First the Lord appeared in four-handed Vishnu form, and later he transformed himself into a dwarf Brahmana, Vamanadev. Similar thing happened in Krishna's incarnation also. And Vasudeva became so happy with the appearance of his beautiful divine son. So whenever a son is born, the father, a Kshatriya father, out of his jubilation and joy, he offers a lot of charity to the Brahmanas and common people. But Vasudeva was imprisoned by Kamsa. He was in the prison cell. How can he offer any charity to the Brahmanas? So Vasudeva still offered charity, but within the mind. So inside the mind, he offered millions of cows in charity to Brahmanas and others. And here is a message. When we are unable to physically render some service to Krishna, at least we should try to render that service within the mind. When there is an opportunity, we should not miss that opportunity. We should physically do that service. But if we cannot do for some reason, under some circumstances, at least we should offer that service to Krishna within the mind, and Krishna accepts such a service also. So Vasudev wondered, he was so happy, and Vasudev started offering prayers to the Lord. So Vasudev said that, "O Lord, you are divine, you are transcendental, you are beyond this material creation. You are the creator, you are the maintainer, you are the destroyer, but you are never affected by your activities of creating this world, maintaining this world and destroying this world. And all the material modes are under your control, and you assume different forms and incarnations to cause welfare to everybody in this world. Now you have descended in this Yadu dynasty to kill miscreants, to kill demoniac people and to protect your devotees." So in this way, Vasudev offered so many prayers to Krishna in a reverential mood. He had respect towards the Lord. He is considering Krishna to be God, not just his son. But later, that Vatsalya feelings manifested in Vasudev, and he said, "My dear Lord, you are my son. I have to protect you now. So Kamsa will come and kill you now." So now Vasudev offered prayer to the Lord as the supreme creator, controller of time. But later again he became concerned about Krishna's safety. Kamsa will come and kill you. So similar prayer is offered by Devaki also. So Devaki and Vasudev are parents of Krishna, and they are in Vatsalya Rasa. But their Vatsalya is not pure Vatsalya. It is Aishwarya Gnana Yukta Vatsalya. So there are two kinds of Vatsalya Rasas: Aishwarya Gnana Yukta Vatsalya and Kevala Vatsalya. Kevala Vatsalya means pure parental affection for Krishna, like Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Nanda and Yashoda never consider Krishna to be God. They always consider Krishna to be their dependent child. If they don't feed him, they don't take care of him, Krishna cannot survive. That's their feeling. They consider themselves superiors of Krishna, and they always care for Krishna. That is pure affection. బట్ వసుదేవ్ అండ్ దేవకి దే ఆల్సో హ్యావ్ వాత్సల్య రస టువర్డ్స్ కృష్ణ, దే ఆల్సో హ్యావ్ ఎఫెక్షన్ టువర్డ్స్ కృష్ణ, బట్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ దే సీ కృష్ణ యాజ్ గాడ్. దే ఆఫర్ ప్రేయర్స్, దే ఫోల్డ్ హ్యాండ్స్, దే బో డౌన్ ఇన్ ఫ్రంట్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ, దే గ్లోరిఫై హిమ్ ఇన్ రివరెన్స్. సో దేవకి ఈజ్ ఆల్సో సెయింగ్, ఓ లార్డ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎమినేట్స్ ఫ్రమ్ యూ, ఆఫ్టర్ ఎనిహిలేషన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ గోస్ ఇన్ టు యూ అండ్ యూ ఎలోన్ రిమైన్ అండ్ క్రియేషన్ వర్క్స్ అండర్ యువర్ కంట్రోల్. You are the controller of time, you are the origin of time, and all the jivas are fearful of death. And later, after glorifying Krishna in various ways, Mother Devaki says that, please give us protection from fear of Kamsa. I am very anxious about you, my dear Lord. You appeared in this beautiful four-handed form. Please transform yourself into a normal child so that I can hide you somewhere. So, in this way, Devaki expressed her concern towards Krishna. So at one point, Devaki and Vasudev are glorifying Krishna, considering him to be God, and later they are showing their vatsalya feelings towards Krishna, thinking themselves to be protectors of Krishna. So then the Supreme Lord started speaking to Devaki and Vasudev. So he said that, my dear Devaki and Vasudev, you were Sutapa and Prishni in previous life. You have performed 12,000 years of austerities to please me, to have a son like me. So pleased by your tapasya, your desire, I have appeared as your son. I already appeared as your son twice. This is the third time I am appearing as your son. In one life as Prishni and Sutapa, I appeared as your son named Prishni Garbha. And in my second appearance, you became Kashyapa and Aditi, and appeared as your son, as Vamanadev. And now third time I am again appearing as your son, as in my original form as Krishna. So Krishna is the original form, Prishni Garbha and Vamana are incarnations. So now the Lord is appearing in his original form from Devaki and Vasudev. So then later the Lord transformed himself into a small child, normal child, not in his four-handed form holding Shankha Chakra Gada and Padma. He became like a small child. Then inspired by the Lord, Vasudev picked up this small child. So now the Lord's instruction or the Lord's desire is that he has to be taken from this Mathura to Gokul Mahavan, to Nanda Maharaj's house. So Vasudev immediately wanted to execute the order of Krishna. So he picked up the child. So, but all the gods are there, Kamsa's soldiers are there, but by the mystic power of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, all the soldiers started sleeping, they fell asleep, and the doors of the prison cell automatically opened on their own, and the shackles of Vasudev, they were cut on their own, and Vasudev picked up the child, small baby Krishna, and he started walking away from Kamsa's prison cell. He wanted to go to Gokul Mahavan, to Nanda Maharaj's house. At that time, Anantasesha appeared there with his hundreds of hoods. So Anantasesha expanded his hoods and spread shade on Krishna like an umbrella. So Anantasesha was also following Vasudev. So Vasudev was carrying Krishna in his hands lovingly, and Anantasesha was like an umbrella, and then Vasudev was going. So there was a slight drizzling because it's in monsoon season. There was slight rain there at that time. So Anantasesha was protecting Krishna from the rains, and Vasudeva was holding him in his loving hands. And on the way, Yamuna came, Yamuna river. Now Vasudeva has to cross this Yamuna river. Yamuna, out of her deep reverence and affection and love and bhakti, devotion towards Krishna, Yamuna gave way and comes, and Vasudeva just walked through this Yamuna river and came to Nanda Maharaj's house. He reached Nanda Maharaj's house without any obstacles. It's in the middle of the night. Nobody was watching him, because the Supreme Lord Krishna's power is there. Mystic power is there. What is impossible for Vasudev to do? So he is being protected by Anantasesh directly, and Krishna is directly in his hands. No obstacle could stop Vasudev. And nobody could see it also by the mystic power of the Lord. So Vasudev reached Yashoda's house, and Yashoda was sleeping there. Yashoda Mata just gave birth to a small baby girl. So that is Yogamaya. and she also gave birth to Krishna. So the acharyas say that Yashoda mother gave birth to Krishna and Yogamaya, both a boy and girl. So Vasudev kept his own baby Krishna on Yashoda's bed, and the two Krishnas merged. So there is Vasudev's Krishna, and there is Yashoda mother's child Krishna. They both became one Krishna, and Vasudev picked up that baby girl, that is Yogamaya, and he immediately left Gokul Mahavan and came all the way to Kamsa's prison cell again, and again Yamuna gave way. So then when this, that completes the third chapter, we enter the fourth chapter. When this Vasudev brought this baby girl in his hands to Kamsa's prison cell, the baby girl started crying. This is Yogamaya started crying, and all the soldiers of Kamsa got up from their sleep. They understood that Devaki has given birth to a child. They immediately went and informed Kamsa, and Kamsa has been waiting for this news. So Kamsa was so fearful since the day he has heard that omen, Akashavani. He was quite fearful, and he was waiting for the birth of the eighth child of Devaki so that he can kill the child. So Kamsa immediately came to the prison cell, and Devaki was holding a girl child. Then Devaki said, "My dear brother Kamsa, this is a daughter, this is not a son. So this daughter cannot kill you. So please spare the life of this daughter." Although Devaki and Vasudev were very confident that their own son, Krishna, is safe in Nanda Maharaj's house under the protection of Yashoda Mata, now they wanted to protect this girl baby. This Devaki was pleading Kamsa, "My dear brother, please spare the life of this girl. So this is my daughter. She can become your daughter-in-law in future. So please don't kill. He's not a son." But Kamsa, being so cruel, Devaki was hugging the small child. She was keeping the baby girl too close to her heart. Then Kamsa just picked up that baby with her legs, and then he kneeled down. He stood on his knees and he wanted to smash this girl on a stone slab so that she can die. But when he tried to do that, the girl just went into the sky and manifested Durga form in eight-handed form, and she was holding a shield and a sword and arrows and bow and trident and conch shell and a disc and a club. So she appeared in this eight-handed Durga form and started chastising Kamsa. "So Kamsa, how many children you would be killing? Don't kill any more children. So the Lord who is going to kill you has already taken birth somewhere. So he is definitely going to kill you. You should not kill any other babies." So then she chastised Kamsa and she disappeared. Then Kamsa became so astonished. Kamsa was so surprised that my sister Devaki has given birth to Durga. Generally, demoniac people worship Durga. So Kamsa was so surprised. Devaki has given birth to Durga. She must be really a special soul. So then Kamsa became very regretful and fell at the feet of Devaki and Vasudev and said sorry. He was so regretful. He was begging apologies. So he said, "My dear sister, I became like a man-eater. I became like a demon. I have forsaken affection for my relatives and my father and my sister and my brother-in-law. So I did not understand that even providence also lies. I was trusting that Akashavani who said that your eighth child will kill me. But your eighth child happened to be baby girl, and then she is Durga. No, she did not kill me. So even providence also lies." And he started speaking some philosophy. "Actually, I killed your sons, but that is the misfortune of your own sons. So there is karma, there is fruit to baggage. So everybody undergoes some inconveniences or some difficulties in one's life because of one's own past misdeeds. So one should not feel sorry for it. And although I killed your sons, I only killed their bodies. Their souls are eternal. The soul will never die. And please excuse me for whatever I have done, whatever pain I have caused you." So Kamsa begged forgiveness. So, and he spoke philosophy, which is true. And Devaki and Vasudev, with a forgiving heart, so they have completely forgiven Kamsa. So even Vasudev said, yes, whatever philosophy you have spoken about the soul is true, Kamsa. So we have no grudge, or we have no envy, or we have no anger towards you. So we have forgiven you. Then Kamsa peacefully returned. See the great heart of this Devaki and Vasudev. Any mother cannot tolerate the death of her children. But Devaki, being such a glorious lady, forgave Kamsa, who has killed 6 of her children. And even Draupadi also forgave Ashwatthama for killing 5 of her children. So the devotees are very merciful, even to demoniac people also. So Devaki forgave Kamsa, and Vasudeva also forgave Kamsa, and Kamsa went into his palace. Then Kamsa had so many demoniac associates, so many demoniac people were there. And Kamsa's style is, he would go and challenge the demon to fight with him. And after he defeats the demon in fight, he would not kill the demon. He would make the demon as his servant, as his friend. And in future, if Kamsa has any work to accomplish, he would engage the demon. So Kamsa has made friendship with so many demons like this by challenging them to fight with him and defeating them. So these demons only were sent by Kamsa to Vrindavan to kill Krishna later. So many demons surrounded Kamsa and said, Kamsa, Durga told that the Lord who is going to kill you has already taken birth somewhere. So we have an idea. You have to kill all the babies who were born in the last 10 days. So Kamsa said, yes, we have to kill like this. Although he just begged forgiveness from Devaki and Vasudev, he exhibited some good behavior in front of them. Again, he came back to this demoniac association and he took to his demoniac propensities. So at one point, Kamsa was lovingly driving the chariot of his sister, and next moment he wanted to kill her. And at one point, Kamsa spared the life of the first child of Devaki, and immediately he went and killed the child. And now he begged forgiveness from Devaki and Vasudev. Suddenly he is making plans to kill all the children who were born in the last 10 days. So demoniac people, selfish people, materialistic people are very unpredictable. Their kindness is not permanent. So they become cruel very soon. So all the demoniac associates of Kamsa said that the demigods are fearful of you. The demigods, you don't have to fear anything about the demigods. Lord Vishnu, he resides in the hearts of yogis. Brahma went to do some meditation. Shiva, he has gone to the forest. Indra is devoid of any prowess. You don't have to fear any demigods. But still, demigods cannot be neglected. We have to uproot the demigods. We have to destroy the demigods. How can we destroy the demigods? All the demigods are dependent on Vishnu. So, and Vishnu is dependent on cows, brahmanas, and Vedic culture. If we destroy Vedic culture, if we destroy brahmanas, if we stop them to do sacrifices, and if we kill cows, then Vishnu will be destroyed and all the devatas also will be destroyed. Because Vishnu is the root of devatas, and Vishnu's root is there in Vedic culture and Brahmanical culture and cow protection. So let's do that. Vipragavascha vedascha tapah saucham tamah shamah shraddhadaya titikshacha kratavascha haretanuhu. So Kamsa was told by all the demonic associates that the Lord, the Supreme Lord Vishnu, is dependent on all this vipra, brahmanas, and gavas means the cows, and Vedas means Vedic culture. So like that, we should destroy all this to kill Vishnu. So these demoniac people, so foolishly, they are making plans to kill Vishnu. How can Vishnu be killed? But Kamsa said, yes, yes, we have to do all this. So he gave permission to all the demons to do it. Demons are naturally very destructive in nature. On top of it, they got permission from Kamsa also. So they started destroying Brahmanical culture. But whoever destroys Brahmanical culture, whoever troubles innocent people, especially women and children, they cannot survive. So women, children, brahmanas, cows, and old people. So these five categories of people should always be protected. No one should punish them, even if they happen to do some mistakes unknowingly. So one should not kill cows, one should not trouble women or children. But this Kamsa killed six children of Devaki, and Kamsa tortured Devaki a lot, and now he is going to kill cows and Brahminical culture also. So definitely Kamsa and all his demoniac friends are inviting their own ruination. In this context, Sukadeva Goswami speaks a beautiful shloka. Ayuh shriyam yasho dharmam lokan asisha evacha hanti shreyamsi sarvani pumso mahadatikramaha. Ayuh means lifespan. Shriya means beauty or wealth. Yasha means reputation. Dharma, religious principles. Lokan, higher destinations or planets. Asisha means blessings. So one may have all these six, but all these six are destroyed if one offends great personalities. Brahmanas or sadhus and women, children, devotees, Vaishnavas, they are not supposed to be offended or troubled by anyone. If anyone causes any trouble to them, they will only be destroyed. So now Kamsa's destruction is sure because of the activities that he is doing. Now we will enter the fifth chapter. So this is the scene in Mathura. Now Nanda Maharaj was celebrating the birth of Krishna in Gokul Mahavan. So Vasudev left his own child Krishna in Nanda Maharaj's house, and Nanda Maharaj realized that a beautiful son was born to him, and Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj was celebrating, and entire Gokul Mahavan is also celebrating. There were so many festivities at the birth of Krishna, and Nanda Maharaj donated 2 million decorated cows. Cows are also decorated. Their horns are decorated with golden ornaments, and their necks are also decorated with golden ornaments, and on their back, very beautiful silk cloth, silk wrapper is put, and the cows are also decorated nicely with golden ornaments, and such decorated cows, 2 million in number, were given in charity by Nanda Maharaj to so many Brahmanas and other guests. And he also gave 7 hills of grain in charity because he was so joyful, he was so happy because of the birth of his child. And Nanda Maharaj received his child at a very advanced age. He was quite old. Nanda and Yashoda were quite old when Krishna took birth. And they started performing purificatory processes or samskaras during the birth ceremony of Krishna. So, kalena snana sauchabhyam samskara istapasejjaya shudhyanti danaihi santushtya dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. So, how to purify the birth? By performing samskaras. And there are other elements also to be purified. In this shloka they are mentioned. But purificatory ceremonies are conducted at the time of the birth of a child. And so many festivities are there. Brahmanas are chanting mantras, and the singers are singing, dancers are dancing, and entire Vrindavan was completely decorated, and cows and bulls were also decorated, calves were decorated, gopas and gopis decorated themselves so nicely. They all came from their houses to Nanda Maharaj's house to celebrate the birth of Yashoda Mata's child. And there were so many musical instruments that were played, and everyone is so happy, and they were throwing milk products at each other. They were throwing milk on each other, they were throwing curd and yogurt and ghee on each other. That's their celebration. So they were not just throwing some colors like people do in Holi, they were throwing milk and butter on each other. And Rohini Mata, who was staying in Nanda Maharaj's house at that time, she decorated herself nicely. So she was staying away from her husband Vasudev. Rohini was the wife of Vasudev, but at that time she was staying in Nanda Maharaj's house. He was giving her protection. So, but she, although she was away from her husband, just to give pleasure to Yashoda and Nanda, she decorated herself so nicely, and she was very happy in receiving guests. She also has a nice child, Balaramji, the elder brother of Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj gave lot of charity, and Nanda Maharaj's house became a place for Lakshmi, goddess of fortune. Nanda Maharaj also worships Narayana in his house. So after this Nandotsava, this great celebration, Nanda Maharaj goes to Mathura to pay taxes to Kamsa. So when he went to Mathura, Nanda Maharaj also met Vasudev. So Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj are brothers. So there is this Yadu king Devamedha. He had two wives. One is a Kshatriya wife, one is a Vaishya wife. Through Vaishya wife, Nanda Maharaj was born. Through Kshatriya wife, Vasudev was born. In that sense, Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj were brothers. So Vasudev started speaking to Nanda Maharaj. He embraced him. He offered water to wash the feet of Nanda Maharaj. And he asked about Nanda Maharaj's praja. Praja means children. So Vasudev did not ask Nanda Maharaj, how is my son? I left my son in your house. He did not reveal that secret. And Vasudev's son is being taken care by Nanda Maharaj as his own son. So Vasudev intelligently asked Nanda Maharaj, my dear Nanda Maharaj, how is your praja? Means how are your children? How are your... He did not ask about son, he asked about children. So that includes daughter also. Actually, Nanda Maharaj's child was a daughter, not a son. So Vasudev knew this. So anyways, he asked about the welfare of Krishna and Balaram. And also, he considered himself very fortunate for meeting Nanda Maharaj. And he also spoke about the rarity of staying together. Although Nanda and Vasudev loved each other so much, but still, they cannot stay together. There's a beautiful shloka in this context, 25th shloka. Naikatra priya sambhasaha suhurdam chitrakarmanam oghena vyuhamananam plavanam shrotaso yatha. Naikatra priya sambhasaha na ekatra priya sambhasaha. All the two people love each other so much. Suhurdam, they are well-wishers of each other. But sometimes in this world, they cannot stay together. So geographically, they stay away from each other, but at hearts, they are together. So somehow, because of one's own unique karma, or the fruitive baggage, or the results of one's own past deeds, one cannot stay with their beloved ones. Although there is a lot of love between two people, they cannot stay together. Vasudev and Nanda cannot stay together. If this is the case of Krishna's parents, Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj, they are parents of Krishna. They are fathers of Krishna. So in different moods, in Kevala Vatsalya mood, in Aishwarya Jnana Yukta Vatsalya mood. So they could not stay together. So what to speak of common people in this world? So Chitra Karmanam, everybody has a unique karmic baggage. That's why they cannot stay together, although they want to. Oghena vyuhamananam plavanam srotaso yatha. A beautiful example is given. You just place two twigs or two floating objects on a flowing river. So now you have put them together. They are together flowing. But how long they will be together? By the flow of the waves of water, they can get separated from each other. And they may not meet again. They may never meet again. Similarly, the living entities in this world also come together because of their own past deeds, because of their own karma. They come together in one geographical location, in one family, for some amount of time, at some time. But they may not be staying together. So in our childhood, we had some school friends. When we were in first standard, second standard. Now we may not be in touch with them. So now we are working with certain employees along with us. But after 10 years, after 20 years, we may not be in touch with them also. Like that, although there is love and affection and relationship and friendship, still one may not stay together. So that's the essence of this verse. And then Vasudev inquired from Nanda about the welfare of all the people, and he also inquired about the welfare of cows. When cows are happy, the Gokul will be happy. So then Nanda Maharaj started consoling Vasudev. Vasudev, you are such a glorious person, but still you have lost your six children because of cruel Kamsa, and that baby girl also became Durga, and you lost her also. So destiny is the ultimate controller. So because of Kamsa, you underwent a lot of difficulties. So then Vasudev gave a warning to Nanda Maharaj. Warning in the sense that he gave a caution note to Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj, you have come here, to pay taxes to Kamsa. As soon as you finish this task, you should immediately go back to Gokul, because in Gokul there could be a lot of disturbances. So Ananda Maharaj said, oh, Vasudeva is advising like this, so let me go back. But actually the reason is, Vasudeva being a Kshatriya, he is very well aware of Kamsa's plans. Kamsa was planning to kill all the children who were born in the last 10 days. So Vasudeva is aware of it. So definitely he must have sent some demons to kill Krishna and Balaram and children in Gokul. So he told Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj, you should go back to Gokul as early as possible. So Nanda Maharaj started to Gokul. And what happened there, we will discuss in the next episode. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.